radio.org.au.
You're listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy, on cradio.org.au. This program was originally recorded for ACC TV.
Wherever you are around the world today, it's great you can be here with us. Today, we're going to be talking about serving with intention. Service is something we see many people engage in, and yet for many people who really understand the place of Christian service, what they realize is it's done with great intention. It's not accidental. We see Jesus laying his life down. We see Jesus giving us an example of how to serve others and even to deny himself in order to show us how we are called to live. If you serve others, you can transform the world and the people around you. It's an amazing, amazing topic, serving with intention. So go get your family, get your friends, get everyone you love. Sit back, relax, enjoy yourself. I pray this blesses you. Culture is about the place. Culture is about feel. It's what's the atmosphere, what causes you to laugh and cry, what really matters to us. In other words, what's distinctive about us. There's a culture. We started this series some weeks ago, and we talked about greeting with intention. Now, that's only a couple of weeks ago, but it doesn't take long to forget, does it? It doesn't take long to forget how we greet. And one of the things I love about Eddie, I saw him today, and you don't forget. You're very, very good. And by the way, you look fantastic in your T-shirt as well. You look great. And then we talked about knowing what the unchurched think, because we can't reach the people. We looked at what the Pope said, that there's three things happening in the world. There's an increase in secularism, there's an increase in individualism, and an increase in materialism. Secularism, godlessness. Individualism, I just want what I want. Materialism, I want stuff, and stuff becomes the center of our world. And what we've been saying is that we have to become an antidote to the world. And the way we're going to reach people, and we're going to reach a lot of people, is by living counter to secular lives. We've got to live lives of faith. And we talk about inspire, and a life of faith is an inspirational life. The Pope just canonized 4 Italians and 2 Indians over this last weekend. And I don't know anything about any of the 6 of them. But this I will know is that the people who knew were around them would have been inspired by these people who lived these lives of devotion and dedication to God. We want to live these lives that aren't individual, and I'm going to talk a bit about this tonight, about how do we counter individualism. And the reality is, in all of our lives, there's individualism is soaked into us. It's bred into us by our society. And it takes a lot to live an individualistic life. And the same with materialism. What I'm going to talk about today is serving the house with intention. That's the title. Serving the house with intention. Now, why aren't I say serving people with intention? It's a little bit like, why as Catholics say we want to reach people disconnected from the church? Because the church is the place where God dwells. And the church is the very vehicle through which Jesus comes. So if you're in the church, you're with Jesus. And so by serving the house, this is a God-centered house that as people come into the environment that we create, they can't help but experience in every way the presence of Jesus, because the walls, everything, the greeting, the presentation just drips with the presence of Jesus. So my desire is for our church community in this, is serving the house with intention. And some of you are going to find this really challenging tonight. Some of you are going to struggle with this tonight, because this is going to strike at the heart of individualism in us. My desire is that this church community would consist of people who love the deserving and the undeserving, the acceptable in society and the unacceptable, the wealthy and the poor, the close to God and the far, by pouring their life out in emotional, material and practical ways. Jesus calls us to a team that's called to servanthood. And let's be honest, servanthood's hard, because servanthood fights at individualism. Servanthood stands up against materialism. Servanthood stands up against secularism. Remember I said a few weeks ago, if we are to win the world, we've got to be countercultural. We've got to be the antidote to those things. And servanthood is the secret to that. It's the laying down of our lives. It requires denying oneself. Servanthood requires saying, I will give up my place of preference in my money, in my circumstances, in my leisure time, in order that others would have. It's saying, you go first, you have your turn, and if I miss out, I'm sad, but it's okay. Well, the world doesn't say that, does it? The world says it's about your rights. The world says it's about equality. The world says, have more, do better. The self-serving culture that we live in, that our people, that we're going to reach, are captured by, who are going to walk into the places where we're standing, shaking hands, singing songs, feeding people, listening to people's story, sitting in small groups, face to face, loving them. They live in a world of selfishness. They live in a world where the world says indulge yourself. It says fulfill your desires. It says satiate your appetites. Pursue your pleasure. The kingdom says give it up. The kingdom says give it up. In our title it says we are going to impact. Well, what are we going to impact them with? But the presence of Jesus lived in us. This culture, this house, the house, the people of the house that are so different, that we greet with intention, we encourage with intention, we serve with intention. Why? Because we understand what the de-churched and the unchurched are thinking. Because we stand up and we say, I could use my money for me and a holiday, but I will give it so the unchurched can come. I'll serve them with my money. I'll serve them with my house. I'll serve them with my time. I'll serve them with sacrificing time I could have spent with my children or my husband or my wife or my friends. Because that's what it's going to take. It's not going to take good talks, good music, and a professional look. It's never taken that. It's going to take our lives. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, if you go there, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, if then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on and it says this. Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. Another translation says to be grasped. Just because he was the Son of God didn't mean he claimed that right. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus' whole purpose of coming into the world was for our benefit. It was for us. It was for us. Everyone else was first. Everyone else. The Father's will was paramount. Think about your friends, your daughters, your children, your husband, you know? Are they looking, I'm looking to go to church? Are they? Why are they going to come? Why are they going to come? And if they do come, is what I've got, is what you've got so magnetic that they'll be awed by God? I've been wrestling with this question for ages now. Why are they going to come? Why are they going to come? And when they come, what are we going to give them? And it's a horrible question, frankly, because I find myself criticizing myself, let alone anybody else. They have to find Christ. And you are his hands and his eyes and his mouth and his smile and his love. You're it. And we have to go through this experience of conversion where we are able to deny ourselves, and only grace can do it in us, in order that we would meet people that we don't know who are undeserving and give them what we deserve. Jesus didn't deserve to die, but he said, no worries, leave it to me. This, I'm just asking you to do no more than what Jesus did. I'm going to ask you to die. Because that's what the gospel is, isn't it? And I wish it was something else. I wish it was, and you get wealthier and happier and richer and prettier and thinner and all of these good things. I think we get that in the kingdom, in heaven. But I'm asking you to do something different. And there's got to be a moment in us, at some point it will click, where you're going to say, yes, I'll go that extra mile. I'll do that. In Luke 22, it says this, that there was a dispute about greatness. I read this often at missions, and it's very much been speaking to me. Luke 22:24. A dispute arose among those as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. Now, the youngest in their society had no rights, and a servant was lower than a child. So a child had no rights, and a servant was lower than a child. So it says, the kings of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest who has no rights, and the leader like the one who serves, who's lower than the child. For who is greater, the one who's at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I'm among you as one who serves. I invited a pastor of a church to come and speak at an event I was doing once. And he talked about another Christian church conference that he went to. And he talked about when he got out of the car in the car park, it was pouring with rain, and he was met with these beaming faces. And they were pointing the way to where the auditorium was. And he said, I walked past them, and then I came back to them and I said, why do you do this? Why do you stand when you could have been doing anything else? Why are you standing in the car park in this terrible weather pointing the way? And he said, and he said, their answer was, we love Jesus and we want you to have what I've got. And he said, I want those people in my church. Can I ask you this question? When you went to Mass yesterday, who greeted you at the door and said, I want you to have Jesus in the way I have Jesus? It's the only thing. It isn't. See, I can teach you how to greet someone and say, hello, how are you going, da 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 da. I can teach you that, and we could fall into the trap of learning that. But it's about, remember I talked about, it's about the conversion of us. It's about us encountering the person of Jesus and not learning about the person of Jesus. Does that make sense? Because we can all learn him. There's lots of people who've learned him. See, the person who's encountered Jesus stops and says, I will serve you with my life. And I don't know what that will look like. And to different people at different times, in different places, at different stages in their life, it looks like all sorts of different things. And what God asked Daniel to do, he's not going to ask John to do, and he's not going to ask Greta to do. It's going to be different for... So you can't go and say, we asked them to do that. He hasn't put me in a prisoner of war camp and asked me to be the Christian in that camp. Thank the Lord. But he has asked some. You know what I'm saying? Where will he place you? When we begin next year, where will you be placed on the team? Will you be in a car park? Will you be behind a sound desk somewhere? Will you be backstage with some headphones on and never see anything because you're at the back in the hope it goes well? Will you be in the children's ministry and your heart longs to be where the adults are, but you'll be with the little kids, loving them? Well, you know, where will you be? Where's your spot on the team? And see, as yet, I haven't put up all the jobs we've got because there's thousands of them. But I don't want to, because you'll all pick somewhere. But I don't want you to pick. I want you to come along and say, where am I needed and where does Jesus want me to be on the team? And it takes a converted heart to be in the place you don't want to be. I love giving talks, don't get me wrong. But I'm not a fan of the 20, 30 hours of sitting in a room by myself, week in, week out. I was saying to Sandra during the week, in the 2000s when I was really preaching heavy, a couple of times a week, I remember I'd finish a message and I'd finish the prayer and I'd go, amen, and I'd close the folder. And I remember before I'd even step back from the podium, this dreaded feeling would come over me. And now the next one. We all carry our cross. But yet you hear the stories of the person who gets greeted in the car park and it changes their life. The person who looks at the way you love their disabled child in children's ministry. The person who comes for someone who's grieving because of the loss of a relationship or a family member, and you just stand and you just listen to them over coffee. And it changes their life. And it wasn't the preaching and it wasn't the music and it was nothing. It was just you looking them in the eyes and loving them. Where will you find your place on the team? Where will you serve? Because we don't live in a world that teaches us to do this. We live in a world that says, pick the thing you want to do. And the truth is, you do want to do the things you want to do. Even in the kingdom, God gives you passion, and things you're passionate for are often the indications of the things that you're gifted for. And so you want to go to where your gift is, and often that's where your passion is. So you want to, you know, it's not a question of, I'm just going to suffer through everything. Not at all. But as a team, as a body, someone has to change the nappies sometimes. Someone's got to work out the back. Someone's got to sit silently at a desk and write another song and labour over it for hours. Many of you have got to be, you know, the way we're going to grow this is through small groups. And giving up a night of the week and sitting at your house with 10 people and just saying, I'm here to love you. How are you going this week? Where's your place on the team? And the thing that I've come to discover, it's grace that gives you the ability to serve, because it's too hard to do by ourselves. Now, don't get me wrong. Why do we see such an increase in volunteerism in the world? And we do. Yeah, look at those Brisbane floods a couple of years ago and how many tens of thousands of people turned out. Because there's a principle within all of us, and it's the God principle that we know that when we give our life away, we find it. People know it. It's in the psyche and it's in the makeup of humanity, whether they acknowledge it or not. In Mark 8:34, it says, he called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if anyone to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of others and the gospel will save it. When we give our life, we find our life. And funnily enough, this will sound strange, but sometimes when I'm giving talks, preaching, I feel I'm speaking to myself more than I'm speaking to anybody in the room. Here, be the one in these next 4 months who opens the door for others. Not just here, but in your life. Choose the back seat so your friend can sit in the front seat. Take out the garbage at home, even when it's not your turn. Volunteer to stack the chairs at the end of the service, to vacuum the room, whatever has to be done. Take the arm of the elderly person negotiating the stairs in the department store and say, can I help you? Smile at the person who looks bored stiff at the shops. Talk to people at church on Sunday. Just try it. Just this Sunday, just go talk to someone. Pay for someone for something they're buying who just seems stuck with no expectation of it coming back. When someone does you wrong, don't expect payment. Love them. Excuse them. And open your eyes and keep your towel ready to wrap it around them and to love them and to clean up after them and make them new and fresh. Because that's what a servant does. That's what this community is about. It's about loving those who don't deserve it and who do. It's about caring for those who deserve it and those who don't. It's about looking after the poor. It's about looking after the wealthy. It's about looking after the failed, and it's looking after the successful. It's about showing no judgment, but pouring our life out emotionally, materially, and practically, in order that someone would grow ever more deeply in love with Jesus. And here's the thing that's the hardest bit of all. If we're going to do this for others, we actually got to do it for us. We have to look around this room and we have to see the needs of people, what they require, and love them. And what some people in this room need is nothing more than, you're doing great, Phil. And some others are going to need a hug and a kiss. And some others are going to need some practical help. And some others are going to need listening. Others are going to need patience. That's the community we're called to be, because that will impact the world. Our grand singing and our grand buildings and all of those things, that will come. Right? That will come. Are important. But they're not as important as the life within it. Does that make sense? And it says in Mark 9:35, he sat down, called the 12 and said to them, whoever wants to be first must be last and the servant of all. The world says, be the first. The scripture says, if you want to be that first, go to the back of the line. Go to the back of the line. Dear Father, as we come here this evening, this is such a tough topic for me because it runs counterculture to my mood and to who I am, because, Lord, I want to be first. I want to look after myself. I want my needs. I am that individual. I am that materialistic person. I am that, in some way, secular person who wants to live godless. And yet I am privileged to know you as my Lord and Saviour. Oh, Lord, stir our hearts, stir our lives, stir us to be these women and these men that are sold out for you. Lord God, with a desire to be a light burning so brightly that those who are far from you would be captured by you. Captured by you, captured by our joy, captured by the spirit of fun that we have, captured, Lord God, by this magnificent sense of you matter. And that you love us so intensely. Lord, for some of us, we've got to go through a rebuilding. I know I do, over and over. A rebuilding of who I am. A rebuilding of ourselves in order that we could learn to go to the back of the line instead of go to the front. That we'd give up our place of preference in order that someone else could be loved. We'd bring people into our life. Allow it to happen now in your precious name. Amen.
We all in our lives, from time to time, in our spiritual life that is, get to that place where we stop and we say to ourselves, what's next? What's the next place in terms of how we grow in our relationship with God? Sometimes that can be difficult. A recent study indicated that 70% of Christians indicated that they didn't feel that they were growing in their relationship with God, and many said that they didn't know what the next thing to be doing in their Christian life was. Well, we've set up this program called What's Next. What it is that every fortnight you'll receive teaching right into your email on a practical topic designed to help you apply the Christian life into your everyday life. It's enriching, it's encouraging, and as I say, it's practical. The way to receive it is to click on the addresses on the screen and fill out your details, and you'll receive it every fortnight, and you'll join the Catholic Guy What's Next family. And I pray that you'll be blessed tremendously. The Bible tells us that when we have needs, that we should come to our friends and we should ask them to pray for us. Well, sometimes it's hard to find people to pray for us. So why don't you write to me on the addresses on the screen, and I and my prayer team, the people who pray for me, will join with you in asking God to be fantastic in your life. Now, I say this every week, if you couldn't get to church this week, or for some reason you just don't think you can go right now, and you'd know the reason for that, I want you to know, in church, there are people who want to serve you, that you would live a better life, whether you're going through some tough times or wonderful life, that there are people who are there going to serve you with intention. Well, that's it. I'm Bruce Downs. You've been watching The Catholic Guy. We will see you next time. And remember, wherever you are around the world today, God is never far from you.
You've been listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy, on cradio.org.au. To find out more about The Catholic Guy's discipleship program, visit whatsnext.thecatholicguy.tv. To send Bruce a prayer request, visit the contact section at thecatholicguy.tv. For more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.